Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman on your radio. Kurt Crosby on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast for March 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour one of two. And our goal always, steady as a rock, ladies and gentlemen, steady as she goes, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. The checks and balances put in place by the founders, inspired by the Almighty, absolutely brilliant, and the solution. We believe the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is the blueprint for liberty. We also believe the checks and balances put in place by our founders, absolutely brilliant, and the solution. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. We do need a restoration. We do need clear application of the principles that made America great once. We believe it can do it again. Are you going to help? Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. A quick recap of the broadcast that took place on Friday. Available on demand on your Roku player. Look at the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel. Live and on-demand radio free on your Roku player or online at libertyroundtable.com. Check that out. That's libertyroundtable.com. And if you want to click on Help Us Grow and Donate, would love every penny. Financial support absolutely necessary. libertyroundtable.com. Click on Help Us Grow. The recap brought to you in part by your scientifically backed free vigor test. How'd you like to get a gauge, a handle with scientific reality of your energy levels? Then how would you like to, with natural health and healing solutions, improve those energy levels, huh? All right, get a hold of Kurt and say, man, I'd like to take the scientifically backed free vigor test, please. Kurt will get you rolling. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. The recap starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Bliss, too, of the John Birch Society. And Bliss, he happens to be regional field director for the JBS. He's over a 9-state area, by the way. And the website for the John Birch Society is jbs.org. We talked about being a global citizen, how bogus that is, and how the relentless push is towards global governance, or tyranny, I would say. We talked about an incredible event that took place Friday night, 7:30 p.m. What is the real price of free trade? Really important topic, in my humble opinion. Speaker was the CEO of JBS, Art Thompson. And it was only $5 to attend. The location was at the Salt Lake Community College. And it was the Miller campus. And we talked to Bliss about that, about what's going on at the JBS, or JBS, I'm sorry, what a lot of their initiatives are. They've got a lot of good work going on. And we mentioned in that hour how hard it is for Americans to get together and work on a project. I was kind of saying, man, maybe we ought to not work on so many of our own initiatives and work on the initiatives of others. And I don't think it's about saying that ours are worthless or somebody else's are worthless. I think we're all doing the best we can. Kurt wisely pointed that out, and I agree with Kurt. What I was kind of saying is, you know what, maybe we're just too scattered, though. Maybe there's so many, as Kurt wisely said, it's a target-rich environment. Maybe there's so many good things to work on, but maybe if we simplify and double down and triple down on working on each other's items and working on maybe the items that filter to the top as the most important, then maybe we'd get further in our efforts. Are we too fractionalized? Are we just so, what, an inch deep and a mile wide kind of an idea? I'm afraid there's truth to that. The question is, what do we do about it? And the answer is find ways to work together on more, I would say this, critical items, crucial items. In other words, you can work on a couple of items and the rest of the issues start to take care of themselves, don't they? So we had on Bliss, too. They had an event Friday night. Kurt Crosby was there. First off, welcome to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome, sir. You attended the event. How was it?
Yes, it was well attended. I mean, of course, to me, it would be nice to go to events like this, and they'd have to be held in the places you have the, like the big football games, or the soccer games, or the basketball games. But no, they're typically not needed to be in a place like that, simply because the attendance isn't like that. But there were some good souls, I'd say. You know, around 100 probably showed up for that, And typically, now there was a mixture of young people and older folks, but you know, the main, I guess you could say, ones there were older. Yeah, that's right. Would have been in the older group. I found out that our buddy Bliss too actually has a twin brother.
Yeah, I knew that.
And you did.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't.
I've talked to him about that before. Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
His name's not Bliss though.
No, it's Bliss 3.
No, it is not. Come on, Bliss 1 was his dad.
Oh, it'd be Bliss 1, wouldn't it? You know,
no, it depends on who was born first, Kurt. I'm just saying. All I know is when you hang out with those guys, it's all Bliss.
I think it's Chris.
Bliss and Chris, there you go. All right. Anyway, what do you think of Art Thompson's speech, Kurt? I really believe they're onto something when they talk about, hey, we got a real problem with free trade. It's expensive to America.
Well, the John Birch Society has always done good things, and you know, they're not people that just get started and never, you know, and then just kind of give up after a few years. I mean, there were many of those people, I'll bet, have been part of it for 40, maybe 50 years that were there, and yet they. I mean, for example, they have a group that works on the old sheriff's kind of idea. They're not exactly, they don't call it the same thing as we call it, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, but they have their local, you know, kind of effort, and the free trade, they have an effort there. And
yeah, and
you know,
by the way, they have worked closely with the CSPOA. They've financially supported us. They've brought their people as speakers to the table on this very important topic. They have videos, and they have their own multi-stage plan, if you will, that we find refreshing and worthy of support as well. So, you know, they've done a lot of good there too, Kurt, including reaching out and working together, though.
Yes, I agree. And, and that's one of the things that I think is so important. I mean, even churches occasionally will work together, even when they have disagreements on, some parts of their theology, et cetera. But if they work together on the things that they agree on, I think it's a smart move.
I think so. And somebody emailed me over the weekend, and they said, hey, you know what? Somebody wants to make an alliance with us, da-da-da. Should we do this? Should we do that? And I wrote back and said, I don't think we ought to have an alliance. But I do think we ought to work together on issues we agree on. I think we ought to work with anybody on issues we agree on. Because, again, you're learning to educate about issues, not people, not places, not things, not organizations, not parties, not factions, none of those things. You're just simply saying, look, this is an issue that's important and worthy of our support. Okay, wait, this is an issue that we don't want to support. We don't believe in that issue or that focus on that issue, et cetera. And so it really brings it, in my mind, to the kitchen table in terms of a discussion, Kurt, of morality, of right and wrong, of an issue-based discussion. And I think that I can work with anybody on a given issue if I believe the issue is correct. I mean, even bad people can be right sometimes, Kurt. And when they are, they deserve credit for it. And when I say bad people, I just mean sometimes people you don't agree with, sometimes bad people. All I'm telling you is there's wisdom in looking at it as only an issue-based discussion. Look, am I for this issue? Are they advocating for what I want? For example, Kurt, let's say that the all kinds of negative groups, the NAACP, the racist organization promoting just the black race, or the prostitutes or the lesbians. What if they all wanted to get rid of the IRS, Kurt? Would you work with them?
Yes.
See? And you would, because it's not that you agree with their other views, Kurt. In fact, to some degree, we're diametrically opposed, right? 180 degrees, it seems. However, they would be correct on this one, and if we could all work together and get something done, just think what we could accomplish. Anyway, I bring that up because it's a very extreme example, but it also is an example that I think most Americans could agree, and it's an effort that Ted Cruz has been working on hard. It's an effort that Rand Paul and Mike Lee and many others have alluded to as well in different wording. Getting rid of the IRS is a real, real issue. Now, do I believe we can get it done? Well, that's really hard. I'm kind of tainted on that because I've heard so many people talk about getting rid of the IRS virtually my whole lifetime, and no one's really even made a dent. And those who have tried have absolutely been slaughtered literally murdered in many cases. And you say, Sam, what are you talking about? Well, there was a congressman by the name of Mr. George Hansen, who used to live in Idaho, who is a congressman, who literally tried to get rid of the IRS, and they literally killed him. They literally, slowly killed him. Put him in prison for years, eventually admitted he was right and they were wrong. All I'm telling you is it's been a tough road to hoe to go up against the IRS. However, there are those who are doing it. We finished Friday's broadcast with our guest, Scott Bradley. We talked about no conspiracy. CNN talking about a North American Union outright publicly nowadays. Anyway, we'll tell you more about it in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
What's so special about the Get Prepared Expo? Imagine having the opportunity to learn from some of the best preparedness and survival instructors available today. The faculty of USAPrepares.com. Imagine meeting your radio instructors all in one place. The last weekend in March. Imagine having lunch or dinner at a table with your instructors. And the cost? $10.80. Imagine having your favorite instructors autographing and personalizing your new books. Imagine buying Berkey water filters at deep discounts, the lowest price in the country. Imagine buying freeze-dried, long-term storage food at the lowest price in the country. You don't have to imagine. This is real. It's at the Get Prepared Expo, the biggest and best preparedness expo there is, March 27, 28, and 29 in Lebanon, Missouri. One-day tickets are $8 on the website, getpreparedexpo.com. Getprepareduxpo.com.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And this half hour of LRT brought to you in part by GiveMeLibertyFund.com. When you want a win-win-win situation for patriots, the answer, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. So in the recap, Friday, second hour, we had Scott Bradley, Dr. Scott Bradley, to PreserveTheNation.com as our guest. We talked about they used to mock us and make fun of us for talking about a North American Union push by our bureaucrat dictatorial leaders. They used to mock us and say, you're into conspiracy theories. Now it's not a conspiracy. CNN blatantly. They're promoting a North American Union flat out, ladies and gentlemen. So now we're proven right once again is all I can say. We also talked about a listener who emailed in and said, hey, man, immigration is something in the Constitution. What's going on? It was an issue last election for the GOP. Now that they're elected, what's going on? Where are they? The answer, MIA. They don't want to talk about these critical issues, ladies and gentlemen. The Republicans have absolutely marginalized themselves to failure. I'm going to say it again. The Republicans, for the most part, have marginalized themselves as an organization to failure. Now, there's still a couple of good people standing up and doing their very best, but for the most part, the insiders have basically proven their true colors. They'd rather side with Democrats to stay elected, to stay in power, to stay in control, even if they jettison their own platform, their own colleagues. They'll side with the Democrats above their own colleagues and their own platform. Bottom line is, the good folks can't get anything done. Glenn Beck leaves the Republican Party to make a point. All right, we also talked about a college professor that banned a student from class discussion regarding his own views on rape. So he says, hey, this rape culture isn't as bad as you guys say it is. You act like every woman in the world's been raped, and anytime a woman's involved physically with somebody, it's a rape. It isn't true. You're lying. And he wants to lay out the statistics and the facts and challenge the status quo. And he wants to talk about some responsibility for women. And he wants to talk about all rapes are not equal. But what, you say? Yeah, that's right. Don't attack the messenger. But all rapes are not equal. For example, woman's involved at a frat party. She gets drunker than a skunk. She initiates half of it, say bystanders. Before you know it, she wakes up the next day, has regret, and says she was raped. Now, I'm never, ever in support of forcing someone into a sexual encounter or relationship, whatever you want to call it. However, all I'm saying is that the same as someone just grabbing a girl off the street and forcing sex acts upon her? Are the two identical? No, they're different. So I'm not saying that rape is ever acceptable. Don't misunderstand that. Don't manipulate that. What I am saying is the student has a valid point when he talks about it. Where does responsibility lie? And who does responsibility lie with? If women know that very likely there's going to be trouble when there's alcohol and drugs involved, and they know very likely when they go to these kind of, hey, all morals aside parties at colleges and stuff, they know full well that they're as vulnerable as they can get at that point. Does that justify their abuse? Of course not, and I'm never suggesting so. But I am saying that at some point when you put yourself in very precarious circumstances, when something bad happens, to some degree, we ought to teach abstinence until marriage. We ought to also teach that, hey, girls, if you don't want bad things to happen, don't go to those parties where there's drugs and alcohol, overzealous males in college. Don't go to places like that where you're up late at night, where you're alone, where you're... Now, I'm not justifying the men's actions. I'm not running around saying men will be men. That's the way it is. The girl's at fault. I'm not saying any of those things. But we're absolutely irresponsible if we don't bring up this reality that there is a difference in circumstances. You know what? We tell girls, don't go outside at night. You know, if you're going through a parking lot late at night, have somebody with you. Okay, why don't we do that when it comes to these parties? Look, if you go to a party where there's drug and alcohol girls, you are likely to be in a lot more trouble than if you don't go to those places at all. I'm telling you right now, I don't care. If you drink, you take those drugs, you become incapacitated, you have increased your vulnerability significantly. Now, does that justify any actions against your will or without your express consent? Of course not. I'm not saying that it's acceptable at all. But I'm telling you, if you don't want to be raped, then if you make sure that you're not alone at night, if you make sure that you are not at these kind of rave parties where there's drugs and alcohol and et cetera, but what happens at these parties is it's kind of a license for sexual activity. It's kind of like, look, you know, they promote slogans. Let me give you the perfect example. Hey, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Okay, that's an outright satanic lie. But again, it perpetuates the point that I'm getting at, which is, hey, they almost believe at these frat parties and these fraternity and sorority parties that, hey, I mean, it's okay. Everyone's really here to have sex anyway. I mean, so a girl's a little bit, well, drunk. I mean, 5 minutes ago, she was kissing and whatever and involved. And now I'm not justifying the actions. What I'm saying, though, is we have given a pass. We've turned a blind eye. We've given a kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod to this behavior for literally decades in our society. We've kind of said, well, that's a rite of passage in college, you know? Okay, we've lied to ourselves so long, and now the evilness of it is coming to bear, coming to fruition. And now we kind of want to act like, well, we never endorsed that. What do you, I mean, that would be crazy. Well, of course it is, but we have, see? Okay, we're running around promoting the 50 Shades of Grey film, suggesting that women can, by contract, become dominated and abused in sexual relationships of I would say, force. But then we run around and go, by golly, if a man even looks at a woman, I mean, he virtually raped her, right? Okay, we need to have candid discussions. This student is absolutely correct. Okay, why is he banned from the class for his views on rape? Because he doesn't follow the feminazi type idea. He wants to have a candid discussion and say there is a difference here. And we can't look at all these things the same. We need to really drill in to the statistics, to the real issues. And I'm telling you right now, the statistics don't bear the societal views these days on rape and on abuse of women. That does not justify the abuse in any way. But we need to be honest and upfront about the realities that we deal with, okay? Anyway, Americans are moving faster than ever away from traditional TV. They can't cut the cord quick enough. And that's a good news piece, in my humble opinion. The question is, and let me just prove the point on this rape thing really quick. Should teachers include porn in their sex ed classes now, they say? Hey, if they expose kids to porn early, don't worry, it doesn't hurt your sex life. Doesn't cause any problems, they lie. Are you serious? Are you really serious? The porn industry has got to be one of the most abusive to women industries in the world. And we wonder if we should show that to our children as part of their sex education. Have we lost our mind? Then all of a sudden the men will start to abuse the women in the class. Pretty soon little kids will start to experiment in the bathroom and who knows where. And then pretty soon we'll go, golly, I don't know why these men are so hostile to the women. I mean, they just believe these women are sex objects. I don't know why that is. Durr, how retarded can we get? Okay, should teachers include porn in their sex ed lessons? I'm just telling you right now, if there's ever a reason to get your kid out of the government cesspools, there it is right there. I mean, wow. All right, this one woman's stomach pains led to surprise birth in the shower. And I don't really even know how to respond to that. I've only been with my one wife. We've only had 8 children together. I've helped deliver every one of them. And I'm telling you right now, I cannot imagine a woman having a baby without really knowing that she was pregnant. But I hear it happens quite often. And I don't know if it's naivete. I don't know what's at the heart of it. I just know it's very, very strange indeed. All right, we were talking about the IRS just a couple of minutes ago. I know this is kind of a hodgepodge of subjects, but that's what you get when you're involved in the recap of Friday's broadcast. That comes to conclusion. News the networks refuse to use for today starts now. Ted Cruz in the news. We wondered who would file first to become president, and sadly, the least qualified, Kurt, of all of them, files first. Ted Cruz kicks off 2016 GOP contest. He announced overnight via Twitter that he's running for president, and today he gives his announcement. As Ted Cruz is set to deliver his announcement that he is indeed in the ring, put his hat in the ring for president, and he'll be announcing it in a speech at Liberty University, which bills itself as the world's largest Christian university. Ted Cruz running for president. Quick pause. Kurt's response. Detailed breakdown in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable, teaming up with your favorite news the networks refuse to use in their radio station.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendovite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of people believe Cruz is a hero. And I think in many ways, justifiably so. My problem is he's not constitutionally qualified to serve. So the least qualified among the candidates throwing their hat in the ring for president, Ted Cruz, kicks off 2016 GOP contest. Cruz is set to announce his intentions in a speech at the world's largest Christian university, Liberty University, today. Kurt, your thoughts?
Well, Ted Cruz, at least in my opinion, has a lot to bring to the table when it comes to ideas and effort, that kind of thing. My problem is, this thing that you talk about. I was looking to see if I could find the Constitution and find exactly how what it is that he doesn't qualify for. It's because his father was a Cuban citizen, isn't that correct? Is that the reason, Sam?
Yeah, I think so. And didn't he have, wasn't he the guy that had two citizenships too, Kurt?
Well, I know that he had a Canadian and American citizenship.
Yeah,
I
remember, so if you do we allow dual citizens to run for president, Kurt?
As far as I know, he renounced his Canadian citizenship a little while ago.
Yeah, but you don't just renounce a citizenship and then go, hey, I'm good to go. What happens if he renounces his American citizenship, Kurt, tomorrow? Is he still cool to run?
Well, the one thing I'm sure many people would be thinking is, well, heck, man, we had Barack Obama. This is sure an improvement over that.
Well, in that case, we might as well just say, hey, because there's been racism in the past, our minds will be racist in the future. Because women have been raped in the past, our minds will just rape women in the future. I mean, that kind of logic is the most backwards thinking I've ever thought of in my life. Just because wrongs have been done.
This is certainly something that, comes from me many times. But what I'm saying is I can see their understanding or
their justification.
Feelings when they would say that. I as well, like Sheriff Mack, support Cruz in many of the things that he has said. My problem is so many times I would just use the phrase talk is cheap, and I I do know that he did the, you know, a lot and has done a lot in the Senate.
No question.
You know, at least in my opinion, under extreme opposition there. And so he has shown his mettle. I personally would prefer that he, you know, would unite with some of the others and say, look, let's do this thing as a team, and everybody will have their duties. We need to all back each other up, kind of support each other as we work to make America the country it once was. You know, I mean, to me, that,
I agree with that.
Could certainly be done.
Now, Kurt, there's another point to make on this, and some people would say, Sam, look, the Constitution doesn't clarify what you're saying. Sam, you believe that both parents need to be United States citizens, that you shouldn't have any other alliances or dual citizenships. The whole intent of the founders were to be that, hey, there would be no other conflicting or entangling alliances that would question your ability to lead the nation, to be true to America, to have your complete allegiance to you know, your country of origin, America, etc. That's my belief. And the problem is the Constitution is quite vague. It does say something about this, Kurt, but it's not as clear as we would like it to be. And there are debates about when are you really qualified. For example, if you get rid of your Canadian citizenship, are you all cool now? If, you know, you're born on another country's soil, what does that do? You know, there's a lot of debates and a lot of twisted scenarios. Here's what I find fascinating. For literally the first couple of hundred years of the nation, this really wasn't a big discussion. Okay. And to me, the issue isn't about the jaunt and tittle or whatever you want to call it of the details here. I mean, we can just get down into the exact wording and parse it out and try to figure out what it means. But I think this is very clear. The founders wanted to make sure there was no conflicting allegiances. And I guess my point is, why does Ted Cruz, why do we have to have somebody that's not constitutionally qualified or maybe is questionable if they constitutionally qualify? Why would we want to push and have that? Why are we always trying to push the envelope? Why are we always trying to get as close to the line and say, well, we're over the line, but not really because this, and justify ourselves? Why don't we just clearly say Ted Cruz has done a tremendous job in many ways. We support his views. We appreciate that he's a Christian. We appreciate that he wants to abolish the IRS and create accountability at the Federal Reserve, et cetera, et cetera. We support all that. Why don't we have Ted Cruz heavily involved? I mean, look, what if you could he do more as president or more as the Senate Majority Leader? Could he do more as president or literally somewhere in the cabinet? Okay, I'm not saying that Ted Cruz doesn't have a lot of value to bring to the table, and I'm not saying that he doesn't do better than most. He does, and I applaud those efforts. But I guess I'm just saying, do we believe that really one man can really, one, abolish the IRS? Even if he was president tomorrow, do you think he could really abolish the IRS by himself, folks? I don't think so. So what I'm trying to get at is I think there's plenty of influential places we could put Ted Cruz where he could have all of his involvement, all of his good things brought to the table to really influence for good, really provide leadership, really do a tremendous job. But why do we have to push that envelope of making him president? Can't we just agree that, hey, that's a very complicated topic? It reminds me of the king that was trying to hire a chariot driver, you know? And one guy was just whipping down the mountain and putting two wheels off the edge. And when he got done, he said, see how incredible of a driver I am? I can, you know, let you see the most beautiful vistas, and I can, you know, just show you how incredible I am. And he'd get two wheels off the side of the canyon a lot of times, but don't worry, man, he got just safely there. It was all good. And then the other chariot driver vying for the position was, you know, slow and methodic, and then he kept far away from the edge, and he stuck really close to the side of the mountain, side of the road there, and he drove slow, and but when he got you there, he said, hey, I might not be the most fancy driver, but I promise you, King, that I care about my cargo. I care about what I'm doing here, and I will get you there safe. And the king chose the driver that, you know, was cautious, that stayed away from the edge. And I'm kind of that way, to where I'm not really even interested, Kurt, in debating how right I am about he's unconstitutionally qualified and how somebody else doesn't know and how because of this and I bring this back and somebody else says, but they passed a law and changed that. And we can have those arguments to the nth degree, Kurt, and I don't think we get anywhere because it's just a debate. Even the founding fathers may not even agree on the exact wording. Many times it was worded vaguely to try to keep something in the document, but yet not inflame folks on all sides of the arguments to jettison it entirely. So there's a lot of reasons for things. I'm just telling you, why would we want to push that envelope? The Democrats have already done it. They were wrong to do it. But why do we want to follow in those same footsteps, continuing to muddy the water about what it takes. Pretty soon, what if you have somebody just cross the border and want to run for president? They're clearly an illegal alien. Do we deport them or let them run for president, Kurt? What I'm saying is, if we continue to get closer and closer and closer to that edge, continue to muddy the waters, continue to create confusion on this topic, are we really doing ourselves a favor? And then what if we do that to other elements of the Constitution and other issues? And pretty soon you kind of say, man, I don't even know what way's up anymore. I don't even know what I'm fighting for. The founders were. And what really happens when you get there, Kurt, and the summation is you decide that we might as well scrap the whole thing because it doesn't work and it's confusing. And I submit to you that it does work and it's not confusing. And there are clear guidance from our founders. And we just don't need to muddy the waters on every issue, everywhere, all the time. And I think what we really need is the guy that drives close to the mountain, that cautious driver that provides real leadership. And it disappoints me that Ted Cruz would even consider running. He's the guy that should say, look, constitutionally, I know there's muddy water about this. And therefore, here's what I want to do. And to me, the leadership is what I'm most disappointed in. But he is going to be running for president. He is announcing first today, Kurt. Any thoughts on my commentary there? I'm not even really interested in debating this, Kurt, and proving that I'm right or wrong or that somebody else doesn't know. Or I'm just saying, why do we want to muddy those waters? Why do we want to create confusion on every single issue and aspect in our society when Ted Cruz could be providing leadership and really do a tremendous bang-up job in so many positions, Kurt, maybe many of them even more powerful than the president? I don't know, just my thoughts.
Well, he did have something to say with regard to this, I guess just a little while back at the CPAC. They say he addressed questions about his qualifications for office. He said, I was born in Calgary. My mother was an American citizen by birth. Under federal law that made me an American citizen by birth, the Constitution requires that you be a natural-born citizen. That's the end of the quote. So, anyway, that's what he said.
And what I'm saying to you is he's creating one viewpoint on that complicated, muddy water discussion. You know? Certainly does. And if you believe in what he says and you believe that he's right on that, then, hey, there's no discussion here. All I'm saying is there's plenty of other good candidates where there isn't even a question. And I'd prefer to go there. That's just me. All right. Any other comments on Ted Cruz, Kurt? All right.
So.
He's announcing his intentions at Christian University. Liberty University, which is one of the largest Christian universities in the world, Kurt. Do you think the Christians will back Ted Cruz? Quick pause. We'll chat about it. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby. News the networks refuse to use continues. All right, 104-year-old woman. She just turned 104, Kurt. Of course, everybody asked her, hey, how'd you get so old? What's the secret to your longevity success, etc.? Well, 3 Dr. Peppers a day keeps real doctors away, she says. Dateline Fort Worth, Texas. She celebrated her 104th birthday, and she celebrated it with a Dr. Pepper, Kurt. And anyway, she's just saying that's the reason for my success. What I find comical about this is it reminds me like the George Burns thing, you know, hey, you get old because you're a smoker of cigars or whatever. And I don't think that's the reason for her success. Now, I'm guilty of drinking soda pop also, so I'm not criticizing her for this. But what I'm telling you is all right, just because I enjoy soda pop, that doesn't mean that I believe that would be my success story per se. Look, I don't think it's good for you. I don't think cigars are good for you. I don't think sugary, carbonated drinks with all kinds of garbage chemicals in them are good for you. Okay, so it's comical that she says that's the reason for her success, Kurt. You want to comment on this?
You know, I did like the big banner of Dr. Pepper behind her, and then the, you know, shirt and stuff that says Dr. Pepper on her and stuff. I think that's a, you know, good marketing ploy, you know, at least.
Absolutely.
To me, right?
Mm-hmm. Especially in our modern society. You know?
Yep.
Good All point. Right.
And so you know, she'll be the new face of Dr. Pepper, you know. I mean, just you can see it now, right?
Yeah. Anyway, here's the interesting thing. Just back to this Ted Cruz thing for a second. Everybody's now doubling, tripling down on why Ted Cruz is constitutionally qualified. And when you read the big old pros on it, they basically come back down and say, look, all the scholars think he's constitutionally qualified. But we don't really know and won't really know until the Supreme Court decides on it, until we get an amendment to the Constitution that changes it, Kurt, and clarifies. I guess I'm just saying, why do we even have to take this on? Do we really believe that one man or two men or whatever, some political leader is really that valuable? Is this about a leader or is this about a country? And so I'm just saying, do we really need to clarify this? Do we really need to have this debate and just double down on this muddy water thing? But anyway, everybody wants to tell me why he is constitutionally qualified now, Kurt. Everybody is taking off the gloves to figure that out. Now, if Rand Paul had any, or Ron Paul had any weird connections like that, Kurt, you think they'd be, if Ron Paul, when he was running for president back in 2008, 2012, if he had the illegal question or constitutionally qualified question hanging over his head, do you think they would have been so clear to say that doesn't even matter? Think they'd be ready for that, Kurt? I think they might have a different opinion if it was Ron.
Yeah, that makes sense. Except, in my opinion, some of the same opposition to Ron Paul will be opposing Ted Cruz in many ways.
Who will?
Well, some of Ron Paul's opposition would certainly be opposing Ted Cruz. One of the things he did was he released, I guess, at the same time, a Ted Cruz for president item in Spanish on YouTube. You know, you got a 30-second commercial release.
Yeah.
Paid for by Ted Cruz for President.
You think Ted might have a little bit of allegiance towards Cuba, Kurt?
You know, I don't know. It's difficult to say, but I do think, you know, if you take the constitutional qualification part off the table, which is a big thing to take off the table, but if you do that and you line up all the, you know, at least apparent, I was going to say suspects, but, you know, the ones that are looking like they're going to run for president, you know, it's tough to not put him in his, efforts as well as plans and or goals in the top, you know, two or three.
It's just fascinating to me, though, how we think that a couple of men are so vital, so important that we've just got to push this envelope no matter what. Doesn't care if it'll muddy the water so to the point where we got to have the Supreme Court decide yet another issue. Let the robe thugs decide everything, or, man, we got to have a constitutional convention because we got to have another amendment to make sure that we clarify. Really? Are these men that important, Kurt? I mean, really, we almost believe that they're not expendable, that they're so important. We couldn't have Kurt Crosby serve because he's not qualified. But, man, Ted Cruz, that guy's constitutionally qualified. We got to set aside everything. Is it really that important to double down on an individual, Kurt? I find that fascinating.
Well, I know this, that, you know, for example, we used to always say, and I think we still agree with this, that no matter who says or does something good, or, you know, or bad, it's not who's right, it's what's right. And at least that's one thing he stands for. You know, a number of good things. I personally wish he didn't have the connections to the, you know, federal or the central bank, et cetera. I wish he didn't have the Canadian kind of situation.
Although, or the Cuban, too.
Although I can say that, in my opinion, there are people, many people that have come to America from Canada and or Cuba that have been, I'm sure, blessings to the country.
Oh, there's no question about that. And that brings up the next discussion, Kurt. Starbucks, they were going to start a big old national conversation on race. Howard B. Schultz, he's the chief executive or CEO of Starbucks. He wanted the employees to write on the cups of patrons, or whatever you want to say, customers, race together. Yeah, race together. He wanted on every cup with an effort to start a discussion on race relations, Kurt. But now Starbucks ends conversation starters on race. They say they're not going to do that at this time. What do you think of this, Kurt?
I think that it's smart first. You know, personally, I kind of wish Starbucks would go away, but believe that Starbucks would be smart to focus on what, I guess you could say, brought them to the table or the counter and, you know, do a good job there and leave the other stuff off the table. But, you know, I do salute and even defend the president's or their, leaders' choice to do this, simply because I guess you could say I'm pro-choice. Part of freedom means that, hey, if that's what he wants to do, I do think that that's not a good business move. But on the other hand, I kind of salute people that don't just do everything based on, you know, is it good for business?
Good point. My feelings on the matter is this. Number one, it's a private company, or you could say a publicly traded company. Either way, the fact is, hey, if you like what they're doing, invest in their stock. And if you don't. If you like what they're doing, go get a cup of Joe from them. If you don't. I personally have no need for Starbucks at all. But here's what's fascinating. On one hand, they want to engage every employee with every customer on race. And I personally think that's a recipe for violence and disaster in their stores because it is such a hot topic, very emotional topic, what I would like to do is challenge this CEO to a national debate on race. Because one of the things that I find fascinating is if you do your research on Starbucks, Kurt, most Starbucks restaurants are in white, prominently wealthy areas. And if you look...
Why is that, Sam?
Well, because that's where the money's at, buddy.
Oh, they figured out that they really can't sell stuff to people that don't have any money?
Yeah. And I don't really think it's a racial decision, necessarily. However, I do believe that's the trap they get caught in when they have this discussion. What I'd like Starbucks to do is start rolling out Starbucks in the worst hoods where there's not any money, and predominantly black and Latino areas, and I'd like to see how well those stores go, number one, because I don't believe
that'll
that
be happening soon.
Yeah, I don't believe it's a white slash black discussion, Kurt. I think plenty of black people drink Starbucks, okay? But what I do think is that when someone has money, well, I don't care whether they're black or white, Kurt, then they tend to want to buy those, quote, elective items like Starbucks coffee, $7 or $5 or whatever it is, a cup of coffee or whatever. When people don't have money, they choose not to do that with their money. They might ground their own coffee and buy it from, you know, the grocery store or something. Okay, I'm not downing anybody for any color, but I don't think this is a color race as much as I think this is a financial discussion. And I'm not against a racial discussion with this guy. But I find it fascinating how he wants to just say, hey, let's put this on cups and have every employee discuss this with customers. I think that's a recipe for disaster. If he really wants to start it out, why doesn't he come on Liberty Roundtable? He can debate Sam Bushman and James Edwards and many others who are experts on race. And I'll just ask him what race he is. And when he tells me, then I'll say, I'm not sure that I can believe what you're saying, because I'm a blind person and I have no idea if you're telling me the truth. Let's start that race card out. And then, you know, James Edwards can advocate for the white race, and he can get his favorite black guy on to advocate for the black race, and he can stand in the middle and say, let's come together, let's race together. I think that most Americans aren't racist in the first place, Kurt. I think it's a financial issue. And I think a lot of races want to stick with their own people because that's where they're most comfortable. And what I really encourage the CEO to do is sell his house in the white neighborhood that he lives in and just go to the hood. And we can get him a house there, and he can live amongst them. He can start a Starbucks in his newfound home, and we'll just see how it all works out for him, and we'll have it live. It'll be what you call ultimate reality TV is what I'm talking about. Kurt, what do you think? Should we do it? Come on, Howie. Let's get her done, bro. You know what? I'll even come to your house in the hood and have a barbecue, okay? All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hour 1 of the can, hour 2 coming up. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. Issue-driven talk radio at your fingertips. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. You're going to help us? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.